Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I will never get duped again.
It's the Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny, Guru Steiny show. Let's go.
All right. I mean, is this what it's come to with the morning show? They're asking for fantasy football advice. Should Chasky start this guy or that guy?
Chasky's out. He's on.
That's what everything's reduced to now. Well, if that's the case, I got one. Should I play Juwan Jennings or Stephon Diggs this week? Stephon Diggs plays Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, I'm with you, Evan. 100 yards last week.
Diggs plays versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm going Juwan.
Really?
Yeah, home opener. Had a big game last week.
Yeah, I know, and I missed it because I had Diggs in. Diggs was okay, but I lost some points. I won.
Yeah, you're undefeated.
I won. We're talking about Christian McCaffrey and how he's being used. There's only been two games, obviously, but he's got 50 touches, 35 rushes, 15 catches, and we're trying to figure out, where he is in terms of his comeback. Essentially, he only played four games last year. Does he look like the guy he looked like 2 years ago, or is it a little too soon to tell? If you're of the school that, boy, he looks about 80 or 85, does that mean you think this is who he's going to be? Or could he still be knocking rust off right
that
now?
That very well could be the case. And if I'm a Niner fan or I'm on the coaching staff, to hell with the numbers, the fact that he's surviving eight quarters of football and he's available, that's the win right now. But, Stanley, I will say this. If that average per carry after 80 carries is still at 3.5 or maybe lower and the long is, 15 or 14 yards, then I think it'd be fair to revisit the conversation about
– how long are you giving him for that? Five, six
games? A couple more games, because I just think the fact that he's out there and he survived to 31 games, and what I want to know and I'll never be privy to is, was that by design that he only touched it 19? And I totally understand it. If he only touched it 19 times after 31 times the first game. So I've been shocked since we were at the summit and we said, there's something going on with his calf. Shows up, give me the ball. Student body left, student body right. Made me look like an idiot, and I wasn't by myself. But,
I was thinking about this.
I just didn't see the light load this past week. And I know it was the Saints, but still was a close game.
I look like, isn't, no matter how many touches McCaffrey gets, isn't it part of the design? You know what I mean?
By
Kyle Shanahan. Like,
however. Well, it's never been that way before.
What do you mean?
Kyle's always told us, I don't care about the pitch count stuff. I'm just, if the guy's out there, I'm going to use him.
Right, but maybe this game plan called for him wanting to use McCaffrey less for whatever reason, right. Whether it's to save him.
You
whether
think,
he thought
right.
that he could get more production going in a different direction. A couple good, real good texts here from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line from the 510. CMC is used more in the passing game because the Niners are so thin at receiver right now. And defenses are loading up to stop the run and force passes.
But to Evan's point, it's about when he's running, what he looks like when he's running, it, you know, burst-wise. And Baldy spoke on it, too, when he was on with Shasky and Spadoni.
Here's another comment. Maybe using McCaffrey in the passing game more is an acknowledgement that the O-line can't control gaps. Very interesting. How much is Kyle Shanahan, do you think, not concerned, but how much does he monitor what Christian McCaffrey's workload is? I have no idea.
And we'll never know until somebody asks him and he's honest and being transparent. But the bottom line is, up until the touches last Sunday in New Orleans, I would have told you he doesn't. So now we get another game this Sunday, the home opener, and Stoney, another, you know, curiosity or itch will be scratched in regard to when it's all said and done. I think maybe we'll start seeing a pattern. You tell me if I'm wrong, developing to where maybe it's one game with 30, then one game not, you know? And I don't know how much of McCaffrey you need to win these games moving forward. And to be honest, when you used him a bunch, the Steph Curry game against Seattle 30-plus times, it was a close game. And then when you used him, who's 19? Bernie Kosar, 19 times when he touched it, it was a close game. So we'll see what you need against the Cardinals and Calais Campbell.
Greg Cosell was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and the yards per carry for the whole team are down, and McCaffrey specifically. Again, only through two games, but Greg Cosell was asked what he thinks is going on with the 49ers run game.
Yeah, I didn't think the run game was bad. I think what's been missing, is just that there's been no long runs broken. So in other words, you know, normally someone like McCaffrey, you know, he could have, I mean, this game, I think he had only 13 rushes. They were very heavy throwing the football, which obviously was a decision made during the game that's how Kyle wanted to play it. Normally they don't play like that. But normally with really, you know, great backs, what happens very often, guys, is they get one or two runs of, you know, 25, 30 yards. Sometimes they could get a 50-yarder, and that makes the numbers look really good. But in some ways, it's no different than the 13 for 55. Let's say his next run was for 30 yards, and then he would be 14 for 85 yards, and you'd probably be saying, oh, McCaffrey had a pretty good game. Hmm. So what's missing is really the one or two breakaway runs. I'm going through the same thing in Philadelphia with Saquon Barkley. You know, there's just not breaking the one or two long runs that he seemed to break in the third and fourth quarter every game a year ago that McCaffrey broke 2 years ago seemingly in every single game. And that jacked up the numbers. But I don't think their run game was bad.
That was Greg Cosell on with Willard and Dibbs.
Interesting. And we're not – it doesn't sound like we're – either one of us or all three of us are not saying that they were bad running the ball. I was just waiting for that long one, for him to break that. And the fact that he hasn't, and 13 yards is his longest one, does that have anything to do with his burst? You know, but if I'm playing the Niners right now and I'm playing Mac Jones as my quarterback and McCaffrey's back there, Stoney, I'm loading the box. And the reason I say that, and we saw Seattle do it, had 9 or 10 dudes in the box at one time. They're basically saying, even with Brock Purdy out there, we want you to try to beat us through the air, because we don't want this dude to be able to take it to the house.
Yeah, it sounded to me like Cosell was saying that maybe with Mac Jones as the backup quarterback, the Saints just made Kyle Shanahan throw the ball because it was so there. And they ended up winning that game because they had to go through the air. And it might be totally different against Arizona.
Now, we may be getting somewhere here, Stoney. I do feel like a detective, and I love it sometimes with this show and all these subjects when it comes to sports. But the fact that he's lined up out wide, that's a decision, even if he gets it or not, that we know where he's not getting it at, and that's in the backfield taking that pounding.
Yeah, and I wonder if they plan to do that all season, or do they – are they doing it just because they're without so many receivers right now and because they're down so many receivers? Maybe they're basically saying, you know, let's put him in the slot like a receiver because we need guys who can catch the ball.
And I know this is not part of the discussion, but I just have to throw this caveat in about the Niners offense and that point you made about the receivers. But there's going to come a day, Stoney. Kittle is going to be back. DeMarcus Robinson's his suspension is going to be over. Brandon Ayuk is going to be back. So I bring that up because I just can't stop thinking about it. When it does happen, they're 2-0 right now with a chance to go 3-0. But, man, you talk about some weaponry or some options coming back. And right now, I know it's two games, about to be three, but you got to think this offense is sitting pretty in regard to what's coming back.
Careful.
You know, down the road, and it's Operation Arizona. But, man, those are just facts on what you could look like or what you're going to look like offensively.
Yeah, or it could be a situation like the San Francisco Giants who acquire Rafael Devers and everybody thinks they're going to be better and they're not.
Well,
it's possible. Yeah. IU comes back and they get worse. Yeah.
Oh, well, that could happen this Sunday.
I know.
Hey, I know we weren't sparring, but we always do. You had a night to sleep on it for Brock Purdy. And again, we don't know what's going on with the toe. But, Stoney, have you come any closer to a conclusion about what you would do if you were Kyle? Because I have. I was driving in, and I think what we're going to see Sunday is Brock Purdy, even if he said, you know what, Coach, I think I can go, I think we're going to see Mac Jones in his second start.
You might be right. We'll have to wait.
But I'm saying you're thinking.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hasn't grown either way or lessened.
I tend to, when talking about that, I would tend to lend a keen ear to what guys like Shanahan and John Lynch are saying. And I heard John Lynch talk about how Brock was limited out there yesterday, but it was nice to see him out there. And they'll wait, you know, we'll see how he responds today to that limited work. And I did, when I heard it, I did say to Evan, you hadn't arrived yet, but yeah. I said to Evan, I said, just from the way it sounded, I don't think he's playing.
All right.
Meaning Brock Purdy.
I got you.
I think Mac Jones is going to play.
Yeah.
And that to me seems like a logical decision. The one thing I do feel like is the opponent doesn't mean anything to my way of thinking for what you do here. If Brock Purdy is healthy, then he should play because it's a division game and it's an important game. If he's not, and you, or you want to give him an extra week, then
that's huge.
That makes sense. And go tell Mac Jones to win the game, and maybe he will and maybe he won't. But I'm not making any kind of decision because it's the Cardinals for, you know, whether you think that makes it easier or tougher.
Well, yeah, and it's bigger than the Cardinals. To me, it's about longevity and the fact that Mac Jones – could you imagine had Mac Jones, instead of throwing for three touchdowns, thrown three interceptions, they lose to New Orleans, and he just looked like the bad version of himself? I think, Steiny, that would expedite or speed up whatever the Niners were thinking. Brock Purdy, for that matter. You know, not I'm trying to go out here and wreck my toe and make it worse, but that's when you're operating from, I think, a disadvantage in regard to, man, now we don't want to cost ourselves games. But the fact that Mac looks so good, if you need to wake up Sunday morning to tell me how you feel, then I think you could use another week off with that toe. And we can hold it down. Because we got the good version of Mac with Kyle.
I guess the way I would look at it is whether Mac Jones threw two or three interceptions, yeah, or he threw three touchdowns.
His performance.
If Purdy can't go, he can't go. So, like, that's what I mean about, like, if it, let's use your hypothetical. Mac Jones was really bad in week one, and you're thinking, holy Toledo, maybe our backup stinks.
Right.
Well, you still got to use your backup if Purdy's not ready against the Cardinals. So, like, yes, it was great that he threw three touchdown passes.
Through 39 passes, you know?
Yeah, but I don't, this is all about Purdy and whether he can play or not. And if he can, and it's safe, you play him. If it's not,
yeah,
then you don't. It's pretty simple. You take your chances with Mac Jones.
Yeah. James Wilson in the chat saying, different than us, Donnie, I got a feeling Purdy's playing. He could be right. But the fact that you just said you told Evan, just from what you're hearing and what you're reading, you feel like Purdy's not going to play.
Yeah, but I'm acknowledging it's just a total hunch.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to read into the language, but I don't know what I'm talking about. And I think it's going to be a decision that's made, you know, on Sunday. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Calais Campbell, Cardinal defensive player, was asked about who he would rather face, Purdy or Mac Jones, on Sunday. And where's this? Well, take a listen to this. This is Calais Campbell talking about who do you want to play against, because we don't know who's starting for the Niners on Sunday.
You want a truthful answer? The truthful answer is I'd much rather play against Mac Jones. And that's not a shot, because Mac is a first-round talent, and, you know, he can do all the things. Yeah. He just hasn't been that defense. He hasn't been that offense a long time. So, you know, he just is still going through it. But, with Brock, I mean, he's a master of the offense. He can make it go. I'm willing to play whoever they put in front of me, and we go out there and we go earn it. But we have a little bit of advantage, with just a quarterback who hasn't been there as long in the offense versus somebody who's a master of it.
I totally get that. What a voice, huh? But, yeah, Snotty, I get that. And, he didn't say he thought one was better. He kind of alluded to the fact that Mac Jones has to get up and running and more familiar with the Niners offense than Brock, who hasn't mastered to the point where he got his team to, the Super Bowl and a couple of NFC championship games. So I get that.
It's so funny. Like, you hear that and you're like, oh. But then you think about it, and you're like, well, of course, you'd rather play the backup than the starter. Theoretically, right, have more success against the backup. So,
and if we had a draft, Stoney, nobody's taking, because it is what it is. I sit here and talk about you're a product of your environment. There's not one person walking the streets here, Arizona, that would take Mac Jones over Brock Purdy as a quarterback?
Some of the people in the YouTube chat might.
Oh, well, they're different.
The lunatic fringe, some of them. Let me ask you this, Goo. I'm going to ask you two questions. I want answers. Here's the first one.
I'm ready.
Purdy's going to start on Sunday. What's your prediction?
Number-wise?
Yeah, score.
They owe the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 2-0. I watched the shorts. That's the YouTube TV NFL Sunday ticket where they just give you the games and no commercials. So I watched Arizona play Carolina, and it was a close game. I'm saying the Niners go 3-0. I'm saying
Niners, I'm not going to hold you to this right now.
It doesn't matter if you do. 28, Arizona 21. 28-21 Niners.
By the way, coming up momentarily, or I think at 11:15 we'll have him, Adam Amin, he's on the call for that game. We got him now? No, we'll... Okay. All right, now I'm telling you that
Mac Jones
is starting. Does it change your prediction?
No, that's interesting. And I'm a fan of Mac Jones, and especially more of a fan in this system. Steiny, I'm sticking by 28-21 Niners.
Yeah.
Mac Jones will be 2-0. Now, we've had some callers have fun, call this station. You know, if Brock was not to be available for multiple weeks, what's going on?
All right, let's have a conversation with Adam Amin, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. He's going to do the play-by-play for the 49ers Arizona Cardinals. You can also hear him on the MLB on Fox, and he also does the Chicago Bulls. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
No, thanks, boys. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, of these 2-0 teams, which one do you think is more real?
Man, oh, that's an interesting framework for the question, because I mean, you look at the first couple of weeks and what kind of San Francisco team did you get? I think defensively they're both really good. I think that's what probably stuck out for Arizona in particular with how they pressured Carolina. San Francisco ended the game on great defensive plays. I think they moved fairly well in their first couple of games defensively. I would lean Arizona because I do think this is what they're going to be more consistently. I don't think we know what San Francisco is going to be consistently. I know the injuries have a lot to do with that, and that's probably the thing that skews me the other way in terms of Arizona. This is probably a little more close to who we expect them to be. Kyler Murray is going to do a lot of improv. Marvin Harrison is going to be a key target. The offensive line is going to hold up for the most part this year. And then defensively, I think they're rock solid because they have a lot of continuity. I think the Niners, their defensive prowess is very well documented, I think, at this point. But I have no clue what they're going to look like offensively in a month. So I think that's why I would lead towards Arizona being a little bit more real at 2-0.
Adam, can you share with us what you've seen from Christian McCaffrey the first two games? Because before week one, we got a scare that Thursday. I don't know if you remember. We didn't know his availability. Touched the ball 31 times. Only 19 against the Saints. We got some callers saying his longest run is 13 yards. And is that a byproduct of the O-line? Or maybe just how does he look to you, Adam?
I still like him in the pass game. And I think Mac actually did a pretty good job of finding McCaffrey in the pass game in the game in New Orleans. I thought he was a key part of it. Obviously had a touchdown with it. The offensive line just had so much like dysfunction in the first couple of games. And I know the injury at left guard is going to hurt a little bit. Although I thought Connor Colby played pretty well against New Orleans last week when he had to fill in at least in pass pro, but you know, 3.5 yards a carry, it's not good enough. I haven't seen an explosive run from Christian yet. He had the third, like you guys said, he had the 13 yard run. Like, I haven't seen it yet. Do I worry about him as an individual talent? Not really. My concern is with his health, like every year and every week. It's that has been the case for the last couple of years with Christian, but I think a lot of what the offensive lines look like across the league is not particularly impressive. And I think that has a lot to do with what we see or maybe don't see in the preseason. a lot of things don't look very good anymore in the first 2, 3, 4 weeks of the year, because teams are kind of ramping themselves up into form in this first month of the season. So I don't expect this to be the baseline for what we're going to see from the run game for San Francisco all year, but I would like to see a little bit more explosiveness in the run game to get a little bit more balance, especially if Mac Jones is going to end up starting a quarterback. I know Brock was at practice, obviously, the other day, but if Mac does have to play, you'd like to take a little bit of pressure off of him with the running game. So I'd like to see a few more explosive plays.
Adam Amin joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's calling the 49ers home opener versus the Arizona Cardinals this weekend. I started out by asking you, you know, which 2-0 team feels maybe a little bit more real, and you suggested the Cardinals. But let me ask you this. You said you have no idea what the Niners may look like in about a month. Are you saying that because of injuries, or that when they get guys back, they might play a little different style?
No, I think more so just due to injuries. Okay. I mean, it's hard to lean, it's hard to lean on Luke Farrell, right, in the receiving game when you've basically taken away one of the top receivers at that position out of the lineup. Like, it's hard to really imagine what it's going to look like. I don't know what the offensive line makeup is going to be in a few weeks, obviously. You know, with Barch being out right now, some of the issues that I think a lot of teams are seeing across the league, they're more willing to make changes on the offensive line. So again, that has less to do with San Francisco, and I think more to do with general trends and major injuries. That's probably where I'm thinking more.
Adam, a lot of time when we refer to receivers on any level, you know, we call them diva receivers. And I saw this interview yesterday with Kyler Murray, and it had me thinking, you know, is it going to have any impact on this current game? But he was talking about his receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., and his lack of targets. And Kyler said, you know what? Some days Marvin's going to have 10 catches or 10 targets, and some days he's going to have 3. And I'm just a guy sitting on my couch with the remote. But I thought to myself, do you voice that? Or can you share with us what you thought of that, and is there going to be any impact on Kyler, you know, when he's dropping back to pass to kind of feed his guy?
We had Arizona early last year. I think it might have been week 2. And it was almost the same story, because Marvin Harrison had made his debut the week prior, didn't really get a whole lot of run, got very few targets, maybe 2 targets or 3 targets that whole game, and then he got heavily involved in the following week. I almost think it's like trying to get Marvin a little bit motivated. Not that he needs it. I actually think he's one of the best young self-motivators that we have in the league. But I do understand where Kyler is coming from, because the expectation is, well, we're going to force feed Marvin Harrison Jr. the ball. I don't think that is necessarily the game plan that Drew Petzing is thinking about, because when you have a guy like Marvin, who is so, like, he's the prototypical X, right? Outside, big body receiver, is going to run the outside route, is going to make contested catches. I think Kyler Murray, as he gets older, is trying to force less and less. He's trying to force fewer and fewer throws. And I think we have a tendency to assume that, well, the X is just going to win all the time. That's very fair, but a lot of the times you have to make really tight window throws, or you have to make dangerous throws to allow the receivers to make those types of plays. It's a lot to put on a young receiver, even as one, you know, one that has the pedigree that he does and has the talent that he does, and obviously he's put on a lot of weight. As you know, that's one of the big storylines for Harrison this year, is that he's put on a bunch of muscle to try to be better in those contested catch situations. But I understand Kyler Murray not wanting to force stuff, and that also has a lot to do with, I think, how teams perceive what Arizona is going to do. Michael Wilson's a perfectly capable number 2 receiver, and I think he's going to find some success on the opposite side of Harrison. Trey McBride is a really important player for what Arizona does offensively. As you guys know with Kittle, that's what McBride is to Arizona. He is their Kittle, and he is their great pass-catching tight end. And they want to lean on their run game the same way San Francisco does. They want to be able to run the ball with James Conner and use Trey Benson and DeMercado and some of these younger guys. So I imagine it has more to do with the bigger picture than it does specifically to Harrison. But I do think there is – I can imagine why you'd be able to read into some psychological stuff, and knowing Kyler Murray, I do feel like there is a little bit of psychological stuff in there too, you know?
Adam Amin joining us on 95.7 The Game. You can hear him on Sunday calling the Cardinals 49er game. Adam, when you watch a game like last week and you see the 49ers backup quarterback, Mac Jones, play well, three touchdowns, no picks, what does it make you think of Kyle Shanahan when you see a backup play like that?
You know, I think the easy narrative to latch onto, and it's not an incorrect one, is that this guy runs a pretty good offense, and he's a pretty good play caller, and he's a pretty good sequencer. And I don't think that's a shock. That's not shocking to hear that, oh, people respect Kyle's prowess as an engineer of an offense and then a sequencer of an offense. But it's a nice stark reminder of it, too. You know, I think to be able to sequence games is one of his strengths. He grew up in this. You know, you guys, I don't even have to explain this to all of you. You guys know this better than I do. He's grown up in this, and he has a real feel for this. And, yeah, there have been plenty of blips, or plenty of blemishes, I should say, on the resume, right? Going back to his time in Atlanta as the offensive coordinator, the Super Bowl issues at times, the playoff issues at times that we've seen late in games or in second halves. Like, yeah, he's got some blemishes on the resume, but I think that's situational. A lot of that has to do with just having the opportunity to be in a playoff game. I think overall, big body of work, you're looking at one of the better, if not the best engineer of an offense across the league. So I think you have to give him a lot of respect for it. No, I mean, I go back every year and we do maybe one or two, maybe three 49er games a year. And I always end up changing over my notes over and over again with new players and new backups. And it's just the turnover on this roster over the last several years has been pretty kind of jaw dropping at times, in particular on the back end defensively. But even with the running backs that have had to play, the guys that you've had to rotate in a tight end, a wide receiver, different offensive line signings over the course of the last couple of years. So with all these different elements, I do think that the consistency has been Kyle. And more often than not, this ends up being one of the better offenses in the league. And even with some of the injuries and depth issues, I think they still produce at a pretty decent level, or at the very least with backup guys stay competitive in games. So I think all those things probably play into the general big picture about Kyle across the league, which is he is one of the better offensive minds that we have in football.
Yeah, Adam, and I got to be careful with this next question, but now he has his running mate running his defense, and that's former Jets head coach Robert Saleh. And Adam, it's two games. I need to slow down, but one of my biggest fears and a lot of 49er fan fears were, how are these rookies going to mesh with Warner and Bosa in the rest of the game? How are you going to replace Greenlaw? And through two games, there have been some ups and downs, but more ups than downs. I'm looking at Saleh, Robert. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a big fan, so I think he got a raw deal. But if this were to keep up and this defense, which Fred Warner looks like a stud that he is, and Bosa making game-changing plays, would you be shocked if Saleh's name after this season, if this keeps up with the defense and they're a pleasant surprise, if his name is being surrounded by possible, head coach openings around the league?
I think obviously it's opening dependent. He's probably not on my list, like of my top five guys, like coordinator wise around the league, but he's probably in the top 10. And I think the Jets hangover has something to do with that. And I agree that it's a raw deal. And I do think that eventually that goes away. You know, Todd Bowles had that same issue. He had to go back to, I know he ended up staying and succeeding Bruce Arians, but he was a name that people were looking at when he got back as the defensive coordinator in Tampa Bay and found success again. And I think people were like, it's the Jets, and that seems to be the general consensus about a lot of things when it comes to the Jets. It's the Jets. They've got organizational dysfunction. They've got personnel dysfunction for the most part. Like, that's just, it feels like that's been the case for the better part of 10 years since, my broadcast partner stopped being the quarterback there and got shipped off. So I feel like Robert's probably going to be right in the thick of things for the next 2 years. A good season this year probably gets his name a little higher on those lists. I would probably lean to some of the younger guys around the league. But if you get two great defensive years in San Francisco and what I think is a fairly tough division right now, like Arizona's on the rise, obviously. Seattle's a consistent team that has a lot of good new pieces, and the Rams are who they are. They're still, the defending division champs. So I feel like playing in this division and being good defensively for a 2 year period probably gets Robert's name very high in the list. And if it's two great years in San Francisco, I would imagine there's a head coaching opportunity for him somewhere in 2027.
Hey, real quick, Adam, the pre-production meetings, I mean, How much information is shared there in those things, and how valuable do you consider them as, you know, obviously the broadcaster of the game?
I find them to be important for personality, like to see what a quarterback is like, what a coach is like. I think you do get a lot about their demeanor and their thought process. There's very little, I think, and again, this is very coach dependent. I think there's very little that you're going to get from them that the analyst probably hasn't already figured out, right? Like Mark, this is just Mark. And then I work with Greg Olson for a month during, you know, the back end of the baseball playoffs. I've worked with, you know, a bunch of different guys over the course of my career, whether it was, you know, Mark Schlereth on the NFL. I did college football at ESPN for 9 years. Like, I've worked with a lot of people, and mostly everybody I've ever worked with pretty much knows what they're looking at by the time they look at 2-3 games worth of film. You know, Mark pretty much knows what the 49ers are. And in the NFL, it's even easier because the turnover is far less. The coaching turnover is far less. Styles are very specific, you know, for the most part, whether it's defensively or offensively. But what it is an opportunity to kind of gauge what a coach is thinking. If Mark says, hey, I like X, you know, and he can speak this way to a guy like Kyle, he probably wouldn't look at me and listen to me the same way that he listens to somebody like Mark or Greg Olson or Tom Brady or any of these guys that walk in. You know, I'm coming from a different angle. But for the most part, if we say something and we've like, this is what we think is taking place, I think most coaches kind of understand how to basically confirm or deny that without confirming or denying it. And a lot of that is just human interaction. I think Kyle is pretty close to the vest, but I also think he's got a lot of trust in somebody like Mark or Greg or Tom or Daryl Johnston, like, you know, just to name some of the guys that we work with and, you know, that we have at Fox. Like, I think there's a trust level there. I think he's done this enough now to the point where kind of he knows what the TV side is looking for. Brock, I've sat down in meetings with Brock Purdy. He's very easygoing. He's very likable, very affable. And he gives us like some candor about his own stuff. I think players like want to talk about what they want to get better at. I think players like talking about their teammates more than they like talking about themselves. And I think coordinators really do want to give you a sense for what they're thinking, especially if they're on their way to eventually becoming a head coach. You know, I think sitting with Ben Johnson in Detroit meetings, we got a lot of that. Sitting with D'Amico Ryans a few years ago before he got the head coaching job in Houston, we walked away thinking that guy's probably going to be a head coach. And sure enough, he got the Texans job the year later. So I think you get a lot of different things. You don't get the same stuff in every meeting. It's very coach, player, human dependent. But I do think there's a lot of value that comes in, especially if you come in with an idea about what the team's going to do anyway.
Cool. Hey, Adam, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great call on Sunday, and enjoy the Bay while you're here.
Absolutely, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. That's Adam Amin. He'll be on the call on Sunday from Levi Stadium. 49ers home opener against the Arizona Cardinals.
Who are also 2-0.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, winner of this will be 3-0. And I heard Bosa talking, Steiny, about I guess they got some special plan for Kyler, who's got, you know, he's gotten busy against
like a party?
No, a plan in regard to spy, quarterback spy, and we've seen over the years. I won't blame
Will. Where'd you get that nugget?
NBC Sports Bay Area. But, you know, we've seen Bosa call out coordinators, and now he's happy. Now, let's just say that. He's happy with Sala being back, and he said they got some special plan. So let's see if we see Bosa crashing down like we have in the past with running quarterbacks, Mahomes, and, you know, guys that are mobile. But, man, Adam feels like it's going to be a good game.
Who you like better, Kyler Murray or Brock Purdy?
Well, if you're asking me,
yeah, who's taking?
Whose career's been better?
Yeah, I'm saying you have to take one of them, the quarterback of your football team.
Kyle's my coach.
No, you don't have a coach yet.
I'm taking my man in Arizona, Kyler Murray. I still believe in him, Steiny. I think he's got more weapons, natural weapons, than Brock Purdy. But as far as just what's on the Carfax report or the resume, I mean, it's not even close. Brock Purdy's had more success than Kyler Murray, but Kyler, man, he's like a little roadrunner. Beep, beep.
Nah.
Back there with a laser arm, you just got to find somebody to put it together or help him put it together.
How would you, because I've always said that Purdy's like a mouse in a kitchen.
Now he's running
behind the fridge and you can't get to him. And then he comes out of the fridge and then he goes under the stove and you're like,
he is elusive.
What's Kyler Murray? If Brock Purdy's a mouse in a kitchen, what's Murray? He's got like,
I like burner speed, I like my right? road runner. I like the road
yeah,
runner.
Yeah, he's like, road runner's like yeah. really fast.
Yeah. How do they open the morning show? Shasky says, I am slippery. That's what Brock is too, but Murray is just on another level. But yeah, I saw that he was getting asked about Marvin Harrison Jr. had two receptions last game.
I know.
I didn't like him saying some games Steiny's going to have 10 and some games he's going to have 2. I just, as a receiver, I'm like, this mofo, if that's the case, let that be the case organically. You don't go say that because now I feel like you go into some games like, you know what? You got 8 last front, Steiny. That's when you get 2 or 3. I didn't know if he should have voiced that. Just my 2 cents.
He might. 888-957-9570 is the number. Thanks to Adam Amin. Anything Adam say, catch your attention. And what are we doing at quarterback? I'll entertain that question. That segment on 95.7 The Game was brought to you by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Yeah, Saul absolutely got a raw deal.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Please.
Hey, Abner. What?
Everything.
Kyle.
What? Go ahead. Say what you're going to say about Saleh, and I'll tell you,
Adam,
I'll tell you the truth.
A lot of people are saying he's got to get in the back of the line, but yeah. I get that.
For what?
To get another job. Like
he's not getting another job? As a head coach?
You don't think if the Dolphins cap McDaniel, which is just after they get blown out tonight, it's coming. I mean, I just, Steiny, I'm a guy that loves passion. I believe Robert Saleh, was he perfect in New York? No, but that Aaron Rodgers thing killed him. So
well, can't handle big personalities. So what's he going to do with Purdy and Juszczyk?
Those guys are saints. They're not big personalities. They're good guys. But I do wonder.
Well, I mean, one thing that happens sometimes with guys like Robert Saleh is, you know, some teams don't like to hire retreads.
So hopefully he doesn't get the Mark Jackson.
He's a retread.
So was our guy in Tampa who's having success right now.
Who?
The black head coach, my guy.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Yeah. Adam brought him up. Defensive coordinator. I'm forgetting.
Steve Wilkes.
No.
Flores?
No.
Raheem Morris?
do. I'm out. I can see it. Can you see the smoke coming out of his ears?
No, there's not smoke. I'm mad at myself.
Do you remember what team he said he?
Tampa Bay.
Oh, Todd Bowles?
Yeah. Remember, it was ugly for him in New York, and he got back and got a chance. And Adam brought him up. That's why I'm like, Saleh ain't there. So, man, I get it, guys. He's not the flavor of the, but dude, I'm just, don't be shocked.
All right, here's the question.
If this defense,
who would you rather have as your head coach?
Okay.
Robert Saleh or Mike McDaniel?
I mean, at this point, I don't even think that's a thank you, Evan. My good, Stoney McDaniel's using the vape on the sideline.
That was last year.
I don't see it before last. But I'm taking Saleh, man. I would look at what happened in New York and give him a second chance. Especially, and this is it, if this defense continues to grow and by, let's just say, the postseason, week 15, 16, they're a problem, and Collins and Mykal Williams and Stout and the rest of the game, guys like Fred Warner are playing with hair on, their hair on fire, and Bryce Huff is continuing to come around the edge. Like, man, Stoney, I think that'll bode well for Robert Saleh. Let's remember he's had one shot at it, not two.
Just how many years did he coach there? Like one and a half?
Yeah.
Let's go to Doug in Berkeley. Four.
Was he there four?
Dude.
That
four?
Well, three plus.
So I, you know what?
You know what?
I saw something else. Like, it was just like
thank
that.
D. Lou, damn, Guru Bowles. But yeah, four is a.
He was there 4 years.
He got fired middle of the year four.
Okay. So he had Rodgers one time.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I mean, does that make you change your opinion? He had plenty of time. Joe Lacob would have fired him.
A couple points came off the score, but damn.
How about this one? I couldn't believe this one.
Wow, man.
Let me see. This was one. It was exactly like that with Kyler Murray. Dude, Kyler Murray? This is his eighth year.
Man, time is flying.
One, two, three, four, five. Seventh year. It's his seventh year. That was like his fourth.
Man, time is flying.
Yeah.
And you didn't answer your own question. Who would you take, him or Brock? If you just... You needed a quarterback, Stoney. Come on. One was Mr. Irrelevant, and one was everybody was trying to get him.
Boy, that's... See, I got to pull a U. Do I get Kyle?
Nope, because that's what you said to me when I asked you.
I think I'd take Purdy.
Evan, who would you take? I need to break this.
I think Purdy's...
Purdy are
less volatile than Kyler Murray.
But is he better?
Well, he's less talented for sure. He can't throw the ball as far. He's not as fast. But I think Brock Purdy makes better decisions than Kyler Murray does.
There's no doubt about that. But I would say this to that, Evan, and anybody listening. If you got Kyler with Kyle, would his decision-making improve? I got to believe yes. It looks like Mac Jones threw one game in a
any quarterback that you have to include a homework clause for,
if you don't like
I
that.
Can't trust.
I mean, dude, not only that.
Why?
I think they ended up rescinding it, but the fact that they suggested it and floated it in the first place.
They gave him the chicken, though. They gave him the chicken, but that did happen.
I think Kyle would... I don't think he would be crazy about Kyler Murray. Like, they would constantly be debating whether Murray should have gone off script or not. The 17 times during the game.
But it's a compliment to Kyle, though, that now when I hear, and I've been kind of this way
he wouldn't
before,
trust him.
No. I'm just saying, when you get a quarterback, it does matter who's the maestro, Stoney, who's helping you, the system you're in. And we're watching that. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm wishing the best for him. But until Stafford goes down and he comes out on the field, and again, he's with a great guy, McVay, right? But Kyle just, he has that Midas touch for the most part, when it comes to quarterbacks. And
Let's go to Doug. Doug's in Berkeley, wants to talk about who the 49ers should play quarterback on Sunday. Hey, Doug, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. A lot of good stuff this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, man.
You know, with regard to that question, you know, we hear that Brock's got turf toe. you know, it's a 2 to 6 week proposition depending on how serious it is. Seemed like it was going to be more serious. And then Mac Jones comes in. He's got a good game. All of a sudden, it's like all of a sudden the jock mind in all of us comes out. Okay. All of a sudden, Purdy's back on the practice field on a limited basis because his understudy has had a good game. His understudy happens to be somebody that Kyle actually allegedly has been interested in since the draft, and he plays really well. You know, Lynch has paid big bucks, you know, to Kyle, so he kind of, you know, to Purdy, so he'd like to see him back on the field. But is there any question that we'd be rushing him back? Is his turf toe all healed up in 1 week? I mean, come on. Basically, this is a no-brainer. You know, we played a guy that played well last week. You play Mac Jones. You don't risk, you know, Purdy after 1 week. And, you know, even if he has a mild case of turf toe, it's not going to be totally healed. He should definitely sit out this week. End of discussion.
Appreciate the call.
I could say some stuff about Sala, too, but, you know, great defensive coach. It's kind of an offensive league. No shade at him. But you know, and if he wants another shot, he should get it. He'll get it down the road. But because he seems to be a really good defensive mind. But, you know, sometimes it's you can star if you stay in your lane. So those are my two thoughts. Definitely, Mac Jones this week.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Doug. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
And you think there's some posturing just to put something on the Cardinals' mind that it could be Mac or Brock?
You know how I feel about that.
You like that?
No, I don't.
You like that?
And I'll tell you why I don't like it on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. A couple things we're batting around today. Who should get the start at quarterback? Mac Jones or Brock Purdy? And then also talking about Christian McCaffrey. Where is he in his comeback attempt after only playing four games last year? Do you guys feel like Christian McCaffrey's 100% of who he used to be? 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Segment also brought to you by Moderna.
Mnext Spike, COVID-19 vaccine, mRNA by Moderna has arrived.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.